inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Today on the podcast, we're going to be catching up with David Green. David was on the show last year on episode 91. David lives in California, and it's just crazy expensive where he lives. And it's just impossible to make the numbers work on a rental property. So he's branched out into a few different markets throughout the country. And he's done a really good job of building a local team, his boots on the ground, his realtors, his property managers, his contractors. And so I want to kind of walk through exactly how he goes into a new market and how he makes everything work so that he can sit back from across the country and cash the rent checks. So we're going to get into it here in 30 seconds. We just need to get a quick word in from our sponsor. We'll come right back and we'll catch up with David.
Are you on track to achieve your financial goals? Income producing real estate is the most historically proven way to accumulate wealth and has created more financial freedom than any other means. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best turnkey cash flow rental properties. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly income. Get your free strategy session with our knowledgeable investment counselors at noradarealestate.com. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com.
Hey, David, welcome back to the podcast. Why don't we start with you just giving us a real quick bio just to catch everyone up on who you are and what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Dan. I'm very glad to be here. I am a police officer who has taken a leave of absence, and I'm working on building a real estate team right now in Northern California. So I've been an investor for about 8 or 9 years, and I kind of took all of the knowledge that I had from investing in real estate and started representing people, buying and selling, and it's been going super good. I'm building up a team now, and that's been very challenging and forced me to grow in some new ways that I really love. But at my heart, I'm really a real estate investor. That's what I love doing. Pretty much all of my other kind of things I've taken up, whether it be being an agent, being a police officer, whatever that may be, has been to earn money to invest in real estate because I feel like that's really where the real wealth is going to be made and you know, equity can be built. So I kind of started with the end in mind. I knew I wanted to start buying as much real estate as I could, and now I've looked for ways to earn more money so that I could start investing it.
When we had you on the podcast last year, you were working full time in your police officer job. So you've taken a step back to really focus on the real estate.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I found that I can do, you know, first off, you're learning more about real estate, working at it as an agent, and that will help my investing business. But second off, I can just earn more income doing this, which means I can buy more houses, which means that I can invest better and I can experience, you know, better returns later in life because I made a decision like this while I was young.
Awesome. Awesome. So now you live in California where the numbers just don't make sense to buy rental properties. So you've been buying properties out of state and you've done this over and over again. And you recently wrote a book to talk about what your experience has been buying out of state. What's the name of your book again?
Yeah. So it's called Long Distance Real Estate Investing, How to Buy, Rehab, and Manage Out-of-State Rental Property.
So I want to go through some of the stuff that you go into more detail on in the book, but there was four steps with getting started in a new market. Can you just walk us through that real quick?
Yeah, that's a great place to start. So I have what I call the core four, right? If I want to go and start buying rentals in a new market, I need at least four people in that market that can help me to do it. And it's the same people that I have in the markets where I'm living in right now. But when we're buying rental properties close to where we live, we tend to not think about it as a business or a system. It's kind of just the pieces fall into place and we go with it. When I started doing it somewhere else, I had to really drill down on, well, what is it I'm actually doing that's helping me to find success? So those core four would be a deal finder. That's either your agent or your wholesaler or yourself if you kind of do direct mail or off-market things, a lender, a property manager, and a contractor. And I found that if I have those four people, I can buy anywhere, I can invest anywhere, and I can have a successful business as long as I have them in the area knowing it so I don't have to be there.
So,
and go ahead.
Well, so if I'm looking to move into a new market, where would I start? Like, what's the first person that I should get on my team to help me build this?
So the way that we find each of those four people is through a theory that I have called rock stars, no rock stars. And that means that if you're really good at what you do, if you're a rock star, you're going to tend to hang around other people that are really good at what they do. And they're also really successful. If you're not, if you're kind of a shady person, a selfish person, a person who's always looking out for themselves at the expense of other people, you're going to draw those same kind of people to you. And you're going to live in that kind of a world where that energy prevails. You want to avoid those people. When you find the guys who are really good at what they do, they know people who are really good at what they do, and you can leverage their network and their relationships for your own business. For me, in my position, the hardest thing to find is a lender because I have over 10 finance properties. So it's I have to find portfolio lenders or commercial lenders or lines of credit through banks or business loans, whatever I got to do to be able to find a way to finance the properties. So that's what I start with. If I can go find a guy who's going to let me borrow in an area, and then I know that that's an area conducive to what I'm trying to do. For example, I want to buy rentals, so I'm looking for an area that has a lot of 1% properties in it. If you're looking to flip, maybe you want a place with a lot of high-value homes that you can have a much bigger profit margin in to flip, because you can flip out of state too. For a lot of people, they don't have that problem right away. They're going to probably want to start with a real estate agent because that's the person who's most likely to be connected to the other members of the corpora you're going to need.
Now, that's the biggest challenge that investors have is finding an agent that wants to work with them, because most realtors are really focused on retail buyers that are going to buy a house to live in it. So, like, what advice would you give to someone that's looking for that good agent that's going to really understand what we're looking for as investors?
Well, the first thing you need to understand is the world of real estate and your own attitude towards it. I find that most people's hurdle is that they have a sense of entitlement that they think that they should just find an agent on Zillow and tell them what they want. And that gal or guy should go and dig really hard and spend their own time and energy and resources looking for something and come back with this amazing deal and lay it at the feet of the investor. And the investor will sit there and say, yeah, maybe I'll buy it, maybe I won't. And that's just not reality. Mm-hmm. Investors are looking for something that is in their best interest, and so is everyone else. Your contractor is, your lender is, your property manager is, and your agent is. And you need to learn to align your interests with where their interests are. If I had a problem, a legal problem, I wouldn't just call an attorney, and because his name was attorney, that's the guy who I'm going to expect to fix it. There's divorce attorneys, there's probate attorneys, there's business attorneys, there's real estate attorneys, there's a whole bunch of different attorneys that specialize in different things, right?
Right.
If I went to a business attorney for divorce advice and he wasn't able to help me very much, I can't be mad at him. I went to the wrong place. So you have to learn how to find an agent that's skilled in what you're looking for your business. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So how would I find someone? So I'm looking in a new market, like maybe a market where I don't live in. Like I don't know any agents. I don't have anyone to refer me in that market. What's a good way to find that agent that would be good for an investor?
So that's exactly what we talk about in the book, because I think you're on the right track. That's kind of your bread and butter, what you need to find first. One way that I do it is I call a real estate brokerage or office in the area where I want to invest, and I ask to talk to their office manager, their team leader, the broker, whoever kind of runs that whole operation. And I say, hey, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I need, and this is what I can do. I tell them I can buy 5 houses a month, or I can buy 2 houses a year, whatever situation you're in. And you let them know, if you find someone that can find me deals that look like this, I will buy them. Do you have anyone in your office with experience doing this? Who comes to mind when I say this is what I need? And they are going to probably give you a list of 1, 2, or 3 people who work in their office who have experience with investors. You're going to make a list of all those agents whose names you get. And I'll call every single brokerage in the area where I want to start buying. Say for my case, you know, I found a lender that would let me borrow there. That would be my next step. Now I want to go find the agent. There's other ways that you can look for them too. You can join meetups remotely, like real estate investor meetups, and ask them, do you guys have agents that you guys have worked with before that will work with investors? You can meet with your property manager or your contractor and say, hey, I understand you work with a lot of investors. What agents are the best people for me to use? Who do I need to know? Who should I talk to? You're basically finding a rock star and asking that rock star what other rock stars they know that can help you accomplish your goal.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So you found the rock star realtor. Now, finding the rock star contractor, I think sometimes is a lot harder than a rock star agent. How do you find a good contractor? Because like I feel like if you're a really good contractor, other investors are going to be protective of that contractor because they don't want that guy getting so busy that he can't do work for them. And if they're really good, they're going to have a lot of business. So how do you find someone that's going to be a good price and also do good work?
So you are 1,000% right. If you ask me the hardest team member to find on that whole core four, it would be the contractor. Because they're either good and expensive, or they're cheap and they're bad, or they're somewhere in between. It's very hard to find one that is consistent, that is reasonably priced, and that does good work. You know, that's kind of mm-hmm. your holy trinity that you're looking for. And you're right. You're not going to go to other investors and ask for their contractor, because frankly, if you asked me for mine, I would tell you no. I'm not going to share his information because he's going to get busier. And if he gets busier, he's now going to charge me more for his time to come to my jobs. And I just shot myself in the foot by helping you. So you're looking for that back door where you can find him that isn't from somebody who it's against their best interest to share it with you. And that's what we talk about in the book. Some ways that you can find people whose interests are aligned with yours, not against yours. The easiest way would be looking for somebody like a real estate agent who works with other investors. And this is kind of a dirty secret of the industry that I'll share with you guys. Oftentimes, my agent will coordinate for me with my contractor just because it saves me time. So they'll get the contractor's contact info and say, hey, David needs you to walk this house and give him an estimate. We were making an offer on it today. And the agent will meet with the contractor and they'll go walk the house. Well, now my agent has his info. And I make it very clear, do not share this with anyone else. If I find out you shared my contractor's info with any other investors or any of these other agents, we will not work together anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone's going to have that conversation, Dan. And you can go and you can find agents who know contractors from other clients they've had. Okay. As a real estate agent, we don't get paid unless the deal closes, okay? We become very resourceful at making sure deals close. That's why agents get paid, and that's why we do what we do. I have to know people in every market that I represent clients that will fix things that break or repair things. You know, one of the reasons I'm doing so well is every listing I take, we bring in the crew of guys that I use for my own deals when I flip houses out here, and they fix up a kitchen for a quarter of the price of what a general contractor would charge. You're trying to leverage that same network of people through the rock stars that you already have on your team. And I know it can feel difficult in a new market to do that. You got to find the first one. And from the first one, you can find the second and third. And from the second and third, you'll find the fourth. And then not only will you have the people you need, but you'll start to find better people throughout the process. You'll think you had a good contractor and another agent you meet will give you a better one. You'll think you had a great lender, but another agent works with even more investors. And when you meet that agent, he says, use this lender. His interest rates are better. The whole process sort of becomes streamlined and more effective the longer that you do it. And the reason most investors get frustrated and never find success is that they quit too early. They expected it to come easy and come simple right out the gate.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. You know, it's like things get easier that the more you do it. It takes practice and putting yourself out there. Now, what about a property manager? This is another piece of the puzzle that can be really hard. A lot of property managers are bad. How do you find a good property manager?
I'd say the majority of property managers are bad, but I don't let that become, I don't let myself get a bad attitude about it because quite frankly, I wouldn't want to be a property manager. I don't know why anyone would. It's the worst part of the whole deal, in my opinion, when it comes to owning rental property. So you kind of got to kiss a few frogs before you find your prince, if that makes sense. And that's true of everyone on your team, but especially with property managers. And then when you do find a good one, I make big efforts to make sure that I'm making their job easier. I don't have a mentality of, hey, you work for me, go do this. I have a mentality of, tell me which of my tenants or which of my properties or what part of my system is causing you the most grief and let me go fix it. So I'm in constant contact with them, letting them tell me what the problems in their business are and trying to fix it for them. Now, in a perfect world, I wouldn't have to do that, but we don't live in a perfect world. And that gives me opportunity to stand out amongst my competition so that they feel like, man, I can't lose David. He's the backbone of my business. He sends me referrals. He helps things run smoother. We got to take care of him. And I incentivize my property manager to do a better job. Now, in the book, I talk about kind of expanding your mind a paradigm shift between the way you look at a property manager. Most of us say that's the guy that collects the rents, and that's the guy that helps determine maybe what it would rent for and lets me know if something breaks. I look at them as much more than that. If I'm going to pay them a percentage of the rent, I want to get all the value I can. I use my property managers as like a scout to let me know what neighborhoods I should buy in if I don't live in that area and I can't go drive it myself. So most people that climb Mount Everest, they don't just do it on their own. They don't just say, well, I know nothing about this and I'm going to go there and climb it. They hire a Sherpa, which is like a little group of people that kind of live at the bottom of the mountain that know it very well because they've done it many, many, many times. And that person is your guide that takes you up unfamiliar territory. I use my property managers like Sherpas. If I'm going into a new market, which the number one complaint I hear from people is two things. How do I know where I'm buying and how do I see the house? And I use my property manager for both. I don't need to know the market. I need them to know the market. I need them to tell me whether this is a good area. When my car breaks, I don't need to look at the engine, Dan. I don't know what I'm looking at. All guys do that thing where, you know, the car stops and you go open the hood and you look at it and you pretend to know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. You just feel like you're supposed to, right?
Right.
That's most of us walking through a house that we want to buy. We don't even know what we're looking at. Right. We need an inspector to go through and look at that thing. I need to look at an inspection report. I don't need to look at a home. My property manager knows if this side of the street is good or if that side of the street is good. They know if this is a place they're getting demand from tenants because this is what they do every day. They're Sherpas that walk up and down that mountain. So before I actually write an offer on a house, I run it by them and say, here's my address. Let me know if this is a thumbs up or thumbs down on the neighborhood and what the rent is. And they love that because in the same way that we don't want to own a problem property, they don't either. Their property margins are so slim. If they get a headache property that needs all their time, right, they're not taking any money. So I make that clear. Look, I make money and you make money. We both do this together. This isn't me or you. And in the book, I talk about a lot of the techniques and kind of like the things I've learned over the years to make that a smoother relationship. And if I can get them in the frame of mind where they love me, they're more likely to start sharing the resources that I need. The contractor who's awesome that they know because they use them for their own deals or other investors have used him and they have his contact. When I've earned the right to get him, that's when they're going to give me his number. The agent in town who gets all the off-market deals that they're not going to share with you right away, when you've shown that you're a value to their business, they're definitely going to send you his name.
Right.
That's the way you go about finding the good referrals. You got to change your mindset from, it's owed to me, I called you and you should just tell me, and if you don't, I'm going to be bitter about it,
right,
to have to earn the right to get that.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think people definitely do need to change their mindset in how they're looking at providers. Now, when you're interviewing a property manager, like, is there any advice that you could give us on how to tell if they're any good or anything we could ask them? Because in my experience, when I'm calling property managers, I feel like they all know what to say. Like, they all have the right answers. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're good and that this is actually how they run their business, but they talk a good game. Is there any way that we could, any advice you could give us on how we could trip them up or?
Well, I think that's a really good question that you're asking. And the problem is anytime you ask a business owner, how's your business? They're going to tell you it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're not going to walk in a restaurant and say, how's your chicken? And have them say, it's really dry. You don't want it.
Right.
Go next door. Their chicken's better. You need to ask other people how they like them. So I don't want to just find a property manager online and interview them and see how I feel. I want to find other investors, other real estate agents, other contractors who know of them and know of their reputation and give me the referral, right?
Right. Okay.
If I do meet with them, I'm going to ask them, hey, who are some of your bigger clients? I'd like to call with them and talk to them about their experience with you. And if they say, oh, I can't share that information, then I would think, well, how are you going to help me then? Right. If you called me right now and said, David, I want you to sell my house, but I want to talk to one of your former clients, I'd give you every phone number I could because they're all really happy with
right.
me. I would only hide it if there was something I didn't want you to see. And it's kind of the same thing with them. I'm going to ask them for some of their top clients, and I want to talk to the guy that doesn't just have two houses with them, but he has 25. And he is probably an experienced investor that knows the game very well. And I can kind of dig in and get to the brass tacks with that guy. What are you happy with them and what do they not do well? Because every business has things they're good at and things they're not good at. Every athlete has things they do well. and things they don't. Everyone in life has strengths and weaknesses. I don't need a company that's perfect. I need one who's strong in the areas that are important to me, and maybe their weaknesses are things that don't really matter so much for my business.
So it seems like the whole key to investing out of state is really networking and finding that one realtor, that one property manager, that one contractor that's going to be able to get you to the next person, right?
Yeah, and if you think about it, Dan, that's the same thing we're doing in our own state, right? We're finding deals from leveraging other people. We have an agent here, a lender here. We have a guy that fixes up our houses here. We have a property manager here. The difference is when you do it in your own state, you do all the work. Okay, it's like you have a job and it's your job to go find all these people of your team. What I realized is that I want to have a full-time job that's not real estate investing. I want to earn money somewhere so I can invest in real estate, which means I can't do those actual job responsibilities and call myself an investor or say I have a business. I don't. I have a job. When you go out of state, it forces you to do it in a more efficient way, which is leverage the people on your team to do parts of your job for you, okay? Mm-hmm. If I was smart, I would have done that here in California, but it's so dang tempting to do it yourself that we all think, like, well, I'm the only one that's going to do it right. So I'll give you an example of how that would work. If you were flipping a house or fixing up a rental here, you'd drive by and you'd make sure that the contractor was on site every day and you'd make sure that they were doing the stuff they said they would. And you make sure that when they said, hey, we're ready for the next draw, that they actually put in the flooring they said they did and that the shower was built like they said they would, right? And you spend a couple hours of your time every single time you went to go check on that deal that made you zero money at all. Nothing was done, but you gratified your own emotions of, I feel good now because I've seen it. What I do is, let's say that I'm going to flip a house. I tell the agent who's going to sell it, I need you to go check on this project. Take some pictures and a video of it for me and let me see that they put the flooring in that they said they did. Walk on it and make sure that it's glued down, that they didn't just lay out some tile. Hey, David, I want to get paid for the next thing, right? If I'm doing a rental, I have my property manager do that. Now, maybe in the beginning, they're going to charge you $50 to go do that, but who cares? Like, your time should be worth more than, you know, $50 for a couple hours of it. And once you have a good relationship with that person, they're probably going to do it for you for free once you've shown that you're going to bring value to them too. And they go take some videos and some pictures for me. They send it back to me. I look and make sure that the work got done. I ask them, hey, how did it look? They say, hey, it looks really good. I forward the contractor the next round of money. And when he's ready for the next one, I send them back to do it again. It is just as effective to send them to do it than it would be for me. But it's more time efficient for me to have someone else doing it because that's how a business runs. Henry Ford didn't come down out of the drawing board to go look at the assembly line and make sure that people were putting the things together the way they should. He had a person whose job was quality control and making sure it was done, right? Mm-hmm. We got to start looking at our business like a business, not like it's a job. And the closer your project is to where you are, the more tempting it is to treat it like it's a job and you're going to go do it yourself.
You know, I think that is really a key thing, that you're not just relying on the contractor to tell you that everything's done, everything looks good. You're relying on your property manager to go out there and verify it. And so I think that's really important that people don't skip that step.
And it's not just that. In the book, I talk about a lot of other ways that I use each of those core four to leverage the work of another. So if my lender says, hey, David, we can do a 5.5% interest rate at 75% LTV, and I go to one of my agents and say, hey, what are your investor clients getting? And he's like, man, they're getting like 4.25. How'd you get 5.5? And I call his lender, and it turns out that my guy was ripping me off. Well, now I know. I don't have to just blindly trust somebody.
Right.
What's another good example that we talk about in the book for the area. Let's say an agent says, hey, man, this is a great place to buy a house full of families and it's nothing but tree-lined streets and smiling faces. And then I have my property manager look into it. He goes, oh, this is horrible, David. It's nothing but like graffiti and drug sales everywhere you go, right? Mm-hmm. That was lying to me. Right. And I can get rid of them.
Right.
Most people's fear is, I don't know if I'm being told the truth because I'm not there. And that's a legit fear. But it's not an excuse to not do it. It just means you got to do another step of verifying what you're being told. Now, I talk about in the book, I think the reason out-of-state investing has a reputation as being risky is because for so long it was. We didn't have the internet and we didn't have ways you could verify the information you were being given. So if I wanted to invest in Wisconsin, I would call some random broker and he would tell me information that he thought I wanted to hear. And he could tell me this house is a deal at 90 grand, where over there, no one would have paid over 65. But to a California boy, that sounds free. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, that's amazing. Let me go buy it. And I'd buy it and it would be in a horrible area and it would be end up being used for criminal activity. It becomes a weed grow house. And I don't know because I'm not there. And he's probably managing the property for me. So he's not going to tell me. The whole thing was just ripe for opportunities to take advantage of somebody. But we're not in that era and we need to update, you know, our operating system and see that there's some new information there. I can go on Zillow. I can go on Trulia. If a broker now rips me off, I can write a review on Zillow saying he ripped me off. There's incentive for them to be honest. Whereas 40 years ago, no one would have ever known because I live in California. Who am I going to tell? You're not going to go in the yellow pages and put something in there.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to get people to see. When I hear him say, David, it's risky to go out of state, I think it was. It is not risky now. You have to open your mind to like the new information that's available for you. You're missing out on amazing opportunities because where I live, I hear people say, oh, I just can't buy a rental property. Dan, not going to work. There's nothing to buy. It's all too expensive. But that's not the case in Georgia. It's not the case in Florida. It's not the case in Tennessee. There's tons of places you can buy rental properties. Mm-hmm.
That is so true. Well, David, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I'm going to put a link to your book if anyone wants to check it out. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/books. We have a list of all the books that we've talked about on the show. I'll also go ahead and put a link at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 146. And at that link, I'll also put a link to your website. If you want to check out David's blog, he's got some good articles on there. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. We'll be back with a new episode next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.